Hey guys, this is Daniel from Better Leaders, Better Schools. I help school leaders create a winning school culture, focus on the essential, and lead with courage and integrity. Today's interview is with my friend who's often interviewing me, Iboro Ibi Umana. And normally I'm interviewing different school leaders or just leaders in general, and that's where Ibi falls. He led something incredible through our church community called the Career Expo, where there's a school we sponsor on the south side of Chicago called JDR, I get him confused, Academy. Oh, the name is not important of the school, but more the purpose and vision of what Ibi wanted to accomplish with these kids. And so I'm really excited to bring this episode to you because, like I said, normally he's interviewing me, but here we get to pull out some of the leadership lessons that he's learned, what he's learned about kids, and assumptions that we sometimes make about kids, and really, too, how to deal with the fear of rejection. So if those are interesting topics to you, I think you're really going to enjoy the show. The blog and podcast was made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential so you can get more great free content and resources at betterleadersbetterschools.com. And now for the show.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer. And now for our Bauer trivia question. Daniel's school hosted both Barack Obama and the King and Queen of the Netherlands in one school year. Stay tuned. The answer will be revealed following today's amazing podcast.
So today's guest is Ibi Umana, and he's normally interviewing me, and we're digging into deep into the content from the Better Leaders, Better Schools blog. But recently, Ibi sort of became a superstar celebrity in our faith community at Willow Creek, Chicago. And so I thought it'd just be super cool to interview him, try to pull out some of the leadership lessons he learned through this experience called the Career Expo, but also what he did connected with kids. And so there might be some lessons that we can learn about this event he put on. Maybe it could be reproduced or recreated in a variety of ways at the schools that you work in as part of the Better Leader, Better Schools tribe. So I have Ibi right here. You can say hi, Ibi.
What up, folks?
So he's saying hi to you, family. And we're just going to dig in. So let's talk about this Career Expo thing. Why did you start it? What was the vision behind it?
Sure. So ever since I started going to medical school in Chicago, I became really aware of just the disparity in terms of opportunity that existed and could be related based on your zip code. So Chicago is a very segregated city. When I say the South Side, people normally think of a minority population, whereas the North Side is more homogeneous, in my opinion, more of a Caucasian presence. And when I thought about the sacrifices that my parents have made and the mentors that I've had and all the privileged experience that I've had that have really aided me in my development as a student and as a leader, I so desperately wanted kids to be able to experience that same thing. And I would think about various ways of like trying to get kids involved over the past several years, but at the end of the day, I would get a little bit afraid, and cause one of my struggles is I can be really paralyzed by fear of failure, or fear of rejection. And every time I felt like an idea that was put in my mind, I just couldn't really pull the trigger. I would find ways to convince myself that it just wasn't going to work. But this is where having great friends is so important. Like Daniel is one of my best friends, and in my opinion, he's a visionary. He's a leader, and he challenges me every day. And what that means is I get better. Like I become a better leader, and I've been able to really cultivate those relationships with many people over my life. And so I was telling my friends for the third time about my passions and what I wanted to do, and I was like, oh, I had all these ideas, but they're not really feasible. And one of my friends was like, look, I'm starting a business actually related to education. I have no experience with what I'm doing, but I'm doing it. So what are you going to do? What are you going to achieve over this year? The next time I talk to you, I want to hear something concrete that you've done. And at first, I was a little bit taken aback at how blunt he was.
Direct.
Like, yeah, I know. I was like, okay. But I was like, okay, so he's serious. So I was like, okay, I really needed to make something concrete out of this. I can't just keep talking about it. So I went and actually talked to one of my best friends who's educated here in Chicago. His name is Michael Elliott. And I asked him, I was like, what is the number one need that you feel you wish you had helped? Because, right, Daniel can attest to this. At schools, one of the biggest parameter of benchmarks of success is academic achievements of your students. And that is frequently fleshed out in terms of test scores. So if that's taking up the majority of your time, but we live in an environment in Chicago where you have kids, especially from the South Side, they're coming to school. You don't know whether or not, you don't know necessarily like whether or not they've eaten or they're eating well. You don't know whether or not there's been a death in the family because you might have to deal with it. So there's so many factors that are affecting kids these days that, especially if you come from a privileged background, you might not think about it as much. When I say privileged, I mean just having relatively stable income, two sets of parents, or very committed parents, and you can just focus on school. And I think that one of the things that he said that really struck me was he really is concerned about the emotional development of his kids, the development of non-cognitive skills, the ability to be patient, the ability to have self-confidence and self-belief, things that were poured into me from mentors that might not exist for kids today. So that really was the key part of the vision that really set me going, because so often, how many times do you have a passion and you just go into an environment, you're like, I want to fix it and I want to do something. And so you spend all this time thinking about something to do and then you go and address it and you realize, wow, that's not even really what they were asking for or what they really needed. I wanted to be a little bit more pragmatic and actually ask someone who's involved in the school, who's experienced that every day, to be able to tell me what they felt was really pressing, and then design a program that's a comprehensive program that can try to address that need in multiple ways.
So I know you don't necessarily like talking about the experiences that the kids had through the Career Expo, but can you at least give a very concise and general sense of what they did on a day-to-day basis?
Right. And since I don't like it, I just have a lot of experience talking about it, so it can be a little bit exhausting.
But he told me he hated it before the podcast.
But for Daniel, I will be as enthusiastic as I always am. All right, so... so we wanted to create a set of experiences for kids where they, number one, could be exposed to opportunities that they might not necessarily be exposed to. So one of the things that you learn to put at this, to set down at the door at this during this Career Expo experience is that kids might be from Chicago, but thinking a kid might have gone to Willis Tower. You can't assume that. You can't assume that a kid's been in the north side or the west side. You just cannot assume that. So we wanted to expose them to opportunities all around Chicago, and then design curriculum such that they, number one, develop self-confidence in themselves, so they have like external validation of their uniqueness, and then be able to also see themselves, by taking them to these different sites, see themselves at those jobs, and then be doing, engaging in activities that are core aspects of those particular professions. So then they walk away at the end of the week being like, wow, I can actually do this. I can actually recast my vision, my dream, to do whatever I want to do. And so on Monday, the kids went to the Federal Courthouse in downtown Chicago. And we had this wonderful, wonderful program set up by Bill Ridgway, who actually goes to our church. He's a U.S. attorney prosecutor. And he set up a team of colleagues and other and defense attorneys, number one, talk about their stories and then help the kids be able to learn how to craft an argument how to craft an argument for a hypothetical case. And the case is actually really fascinating because it's so applicable, right? So Jeremy gets a bad grade on the test, is really angry at the teacher, posts questionable or controversial rhetoric on Facebook saying he's going to get what's coming from him, and the school expels him. Were they right or not right? But asking the kids to, wherever your sympathies may lie, to develop an argument for or against him, or, you know, arbitrarily. And the kids came up with some phenomenal arguments. And there are several kids that left that day being very convinced they wanted to be a lawyer, right? So in my mind, that's a success. So on Tuesday, my wife, as I mentioned before in a previous episode, is a second-year pediatric resident at University of Chicago. And we're able to take the kids to University of Chicago, and where she really taught them about how we diagnose patients, what the algorithm that we use. And then she also, Willow Chicago, our home church, Daniel and my church, they bought each kid their own stethoscope. Not like the stethoscope you find in Toys R Us, a full functioning stethoscope they can use to listen to their lung and heart sounds of themselves or other kids. And the beauty of it was that Jasmine was able to teach them how to properly use it. And it wasn't just Jasmine, or her colleague, Nate Jones, was also there as well. And one of the things I love about my medical school, because University of Chicago has a medical school, Pritzker School of Medicine, they were so excited about the kids coming on campus, they actually invited us to their office suite where kids were privileged to listen to a presentation from an admissions representative. So again, think about it from the perspective of the kids. They're being able to see what a doctor does. They're able to see a minority person, a very talented minority individuals leading that session. So they're seeing at the end of the road, I see someone that looks like me doing what I want to do. And then they get to be able to talk to the people that are in power, that are responsible for creating the medical school class, and learn what it takes, right? So they're really privileged to be a part of that kind of, see the various facets of medicine. And then they were able to go on a tour of the emergency room with the kids that were really cool. And then in the afternoon session, the kids were able to go to my lab because I just got my PhD in neurobiology, and I work in a lab that really looks at how we can modulate sensation of pain. So the kids got a chance to really learn kind of cutting-edge technology that we're using to be able to study brain circuits and see how they can impact our behaviors. And the kids had a great time. They were able to build a switch, electric switch, they could then use to manipulate mouse behavior. So it was really awesome. And there was one kid that, from that experience, wanted to be a scientist. So I could talk about this for hours, but I don't want to overwhelm you with information. But so on Wednesday, the kids went to United Airlines, where they had a chance to talk to United Airlines executives and see how United coordinates flights from all over the world. Thursday, my cousin is a big-time music producer, flew in from L.A., and taught the kids how to make beats and walked through that entire process, talked about his experience as a music producer, and then helped the kids make their own beat, and the kids wrote a song to it, and they were really, really talented. I still listen to it on my phone like almost every day. And then on Friday, we went to a digital marketing company called Centro, which is an amazing company. And these kids learned how to code. They developed their own app, right? And that addressed a particular user problem. And so it just was really awesome to see the kids' growth and see the amount of the experiences that they had a chance to create.
So one thing I'm thinking, maybe as a critique, some people are listening, they're going to say, well, you know what, I don't live in a major metropolitan area, I can't pull this off. What would you say to those people?
I think I would say that we can create so many excuses for not exploring our passion or not addressing the need. And I think that it doesn't really matter how big or small a city is. There are professionals doing really interesting stuff that that kids want to be a part of it. They want to learn about. So I'm from Carbondale, Illinois, which is like, you know, I grew up thinking that it was like a big city. Then I told someone that it had 50,000 people, and they laughed at me like, "Oh, that's not a big city." But even within that, we were fortunate to have a university there, so there are professors doing really cool stuff. I actually every summer I'd work in a lab, trying to do some really interesting experiments. There are doctors there. There are lawyers there. And so I think that wherever you are, there are opportunities that could be really interesting exposure for kids. So don't let that hold you back, and pursue that vision, pursue that passion, because you're not doing it. We're not benefiting from that. So it's really important to not let fear or pragmatic concerns get in the way of trying to achieve that.
So no excuses allowed. Now, thank you for your generous description of the experiences the kids had. And I heard you mention Bill Ridgway, but offline we were talking about what really made you passionate about this project. And I think people could hear it through the experiences, through the vision you talked about for the Career Expo. But you also talk about that process makes you extremely passionate. So is there anything else you want to add about Bill Ridgway and what he created, or this idea of process? Like, why is that passionate to you? Maybe how's that applicable to leaders that are listening to this podcast?
Right, that's a great question. And one challenge that I have to you as a leader is, if you're focused on results, exclusively on results, take a back seat and kind of think about the satisfaction that you could gain perhaps from, or put that interest aside for a second. Think about the satisfaction you might gain from watching the growth of your fellow leaders. And that's something that I experienced working with this Career Expo. So I came to I had the idea, I presented it to our Compassion and Justice pastor, Chichi Okwu, and she was so excited about it. And she was like, and I told her, I was like, "Well, I'm really scared. I feel like I don't know how I'm going to get all this done. I'm a PhD student." She's like, "We're going to assemble a team that can help you finish or achieve this project." In my mind, I thought, like, well, I have my set of ideas, so this is what's going to happen. But really what ended up happening is we gathered a group of leaders that had very diverse experiences and backgrounds and created something that was so beautiful that just blew my mind. It was not what I was thinking at the original outset. And so during this process in April, so we did this in early August, in April, Bill Ridgway, who's part of our church, came to me and said, "Hey, I'm really, really passionate about it. I heard about what you're doing. You're really passionate about it. I want to join." And so, at that point, we wanted to do a civics kind of law day, but we didn't really have a sense of direction of what was going to happen. We were still looking for people. And I was like, "Ooh, thank you. All right, Bill." And one of the things I'm so happy that I ended up doing is I delegate. I let him just take over that entire day, and watching him kind of grow into that and being able to come up with like curriculum, like come up with a case that was so applicable to the kids, to be able to enlist really awesome prosecutors that were able to talk at the level of the kids, work with them in groups to be able to develop arguments, to be able to secure a courthouse. And when you walk in, like we're literally doing the entire day in a courthouse that is used all the time. In fact, that very courthouse was the site of a recent Michael Jordan lawsuit against Dominick's for using his trademark in an advertisement. So it's just like being able to utilize his resources and allow him to be able to utilize his resources to create something so special was awesome. And I think that would not have been achieved if I would have been exclusively focused on results, on my vision as the ultimate thing, and what that had to look like. And so just being able to watch him and him put his unique imprint on the project was just really awesome.
So what I hear you saying there too, the importance of delegation, not because it's important, number one, because you can't do it all. So you need a team to help you support your vision and execute. But also too, there's a lot of unexpected and unintended consequences that are often blessings, and even better than what you imagine for whatever project you're working on. In the case of Bill Ridgway, what he put together, once you gave him the reins of this part of the Career Expo, it just blew your mind. So I think it's important to find people that are, well, first of all, find out what people are passionate about within your school, within your organization, and then look for ways to play to those passions, play to those strengths, so that unintended, unexpected, and just wildly wonderful things can occur within your organization just because you take the time to know what people's passions and strengths are. And what you get is just so wonderful. Let me ask you this then. You talked about some fear you had prior to knowing that the team would be formed and how to execute the Career Expo. And then in the beginning of this interview, you also talked about the fear of rejection. One of the antidotes was having solid relationships and people around you that, that could keep you focused on the right thing. But how else do you get past fear of rejection and fear of failure?
Well, I think a big part of it is having mentors, having accountability, having people that really challenge you and don't let you settle into your comfort zone. That's been something that's been really big for me, because I think sometimes we often think as leaders that we're the one kind of dictating the vision and kind of being at the forefront. But it's often, we often really need to be held accountable and have a lot of room to grow as well. And that's what I really found to be really important in terms of helping me get through it, because I wish I could say that it gets a lot easier to take risks and to overcome that fear, but I don't know if it necessarily does. I think what it, I can look back and be like, well, this is what I took a risk and this is what happened, so it made me feel a little bit better. But having that support from others is so important. So being able to create a community and network of people that really drive and inspire you can definitely help you just make that one step that really can lead to kind of a cascade of really amazing opportunities. I think that because we also have a Christian faith worldview, that's been helpful as well in terms of just thinking about the fact that God walks with us through that process, and that our biggest weakness can be His strength, doing things in His glory. But you know, again, you don't have to look at it exclusively in that. I think one of the biggest things is going back to that first part, is just realizing you don't have to do it all yourself. That's not the point of life. I found the most joy and satisfaction working with others to create something that's bigger than myself, whether that's in terms of personal improvement or in terms of like creating or executing a big project. I really value those connections more than necessarily what we create. As you can tell, I'm a very big process-driven person.
Yeah, so I just want to reiterate those points for the Better Leaders audience and family, that faith can be a huge component. So, you know, digging into some sort of higher power, even if you don't necessarily believe in a God, but just meditating and being able to, stimulate your mind to find some sort of peace and calm before the storm, knowing that you don't have to do it all yourself, to find support, reach out for it, is a really nice thing to do. It has extreme benefits. But I want to touch on the collaboration and accountability piece. I didn't pay IB to say that, so I'm happy he did. But if you go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/mastermind, that's the word master and mind together, one word. One of the services I offer is Education Mastermind. And you probably heard my tagline before, that I help school leaders create a winning culture, focus on the essential, and lead with courage and integrity. I want to be, your virtual mentor, so to speak, but I want to work with educators and school leaders that want to get better, right? but it's hard to do on your own. It doesn't happen on your own. And I've talked before on the podcast about my challenges of finding people just regionally, locally, to get together with me, to call me on my stuff, to talk about leadership. Where are they struggling? What are the lessons they've learned and that sort of thing? And that's really why I created Better Leaders, Better Schools, just to share a bunch of great value for people that are interested in their own self-growth. But if you want to take the next step is at joining one of my education masterminds. And there, what you can expect is a weekly virtual meeting where we discuss what were the wins for the week. Just check in with four other people plus myself. But then the key point is the accountability piece. And so let's say it was me and four other people. Everybody would get an opportunity once a week to sit in something called the hot seat. And you would just describe what are the challenges and obstacles and barriers you're currently facing. And you just talk about those problems. And then through the group context, we'd offer empathy. We'd offer just great listening skills. We would offer potential solutions to your problems. We would offer great questions that only people outside of your experience and perspective can ask. And that's going to accelerate your leadership growth. So I think you should, definitely consider it. But then at the end of the mastermind too, what are you going to accomplish for next week? Because a part of your check-in too is saying, okay, if this is where I'm going as a leader, here are, 3 to 5 things I could accomplish next week to move toward that. Well, you better believe we're going to check in and see if you did those 3 or 5 things. And then we'll have a conversation depending on if you did them or not. But like I said, betterleadersbetterschools.com/mastermind. They open every quarter and are closed every quarter. So if you're listening and it's in the middle of a quarter right now, then, enrollment is closed. But you can get on the email list and would love to work with you in that capacity. So I have just a few more questions for you, IB, as we're winding down this interview. But what did you learn about the kids you worked with through the Career Expo?
Well, I think one big thing is that I learned that we oftentimes can look at kids as from an adult lens, right? Which means that you might look at a kid and be like, why are they not paying attention? Why are they, bringing out their phone, or like, why are they not sitting up straight, maintaining eye contact, taking notes, things that like have been told to us are really important in the workforce. And I think that I learned that, especially for kids, you just can't really try and impose too much of these external expectations. They're listening. You might not think that they are, but they really are. There are certain kids that I think, if I didn't check myself, I would have thought that like they just weren't really as invested in the program. One of the guys came up to me and he was like, you know what? I really, really loved going to the digital marketing company. And you just, I had no idea. Like I would not have been able to guess that. But so I think that like coming in and trying to, again, put your assumptions down and just enjoy and just invest and being able to read some of the feedback they gave us. Like one girl was saying like how she realized that now that she can do whatever she wants as long as she works hard and focuses on it. That kind of really again spoke to me just about the significance of what we're trying to do, and it hammered home again to me the importance of having a mentorship structure. So maybe you have some margin in your schools to be able to create opportunities for kids to network or interact with mentors or be able to develop soft skills. I mean, when I say soft skills, I'm talking about like leadership, patience, or whatever, or other things. And I think they're really worth investing. One of the things I like about what Daniel's been able to do at his school is really to establish leadership clubs, if you will. I know Daniel might talk about it in a second, but just opportunities that really allow for kids to discover to explore their identity and really discover what they're good at, aside from books. Because I think that we sometimes might overemphasize the importance of education, when oftentimes it's me remembering watching my dad interact with his patients and the generosity and the kindness that he exhibited, how he really treated someone with so much dignity. That's the type of stuff that really matters to me when I'm working in a group trying to execute a project. My desire to be really inclusive, to make sure everyone is expressing their own ideas. I'm not necessarily thinking about what the derivative of an equation was. I'm being extreme here, but my point is that oftentimes the development of these non-cognitive emotional skills that are really important for your ability to kind of execute and see out projects and is just as important as acquiring and developing academic skills.
So Ivy, I'm not really going to talk about the leadership clubs right now, but what I want to tell the Better Leaders family is that in episode 9, I've already recorded this one, I interviewed Tim Devine, the principal of the number one school in Illinois, and it's a top 10 school in our nation, Walter Payton College Prep, also right here in Chicago. He talks about one of his student leadership groups in that episode, so I highly encourage you to subscribe to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast and download that one. And I have not recorded this episode, so I can't tell you which number it's going to be, but I will be interviewing my wife, not just because she's my wife and she's beautiful and I love her, but I'm going to interview her because she actually worked at a school I was employed at, Brooks College Prep, and she had a number of responsibilities. And I'm going to, one of those was leading a group called the Student Ambassadors. And it was just a high caliber, incredible leadership club for students. And so once we get that recorded, that'll be up there. Be looking for that episode. And during that episode, I'm also going to bring on the former president of the Student Ambassadors, Tyler Portis. He actually is the behind the scenes social media director for Better Leaders, Better Schools. He does all the social sharing and writes all the, the hooks to get people to read the blog. And I give that totally to him. Sometimes there's mistakes made, but you know what? I'm okay with it. I'm not trying to be perfect. And I love what he's learning through sharing all the blog posts. So it's a worthwhile experience for me. So I think too, what we found through the Career Expo, through letting Tyler do the social media stuff, is you let kids have these types of experience and then you coach them, give them feedback based on how they perform. And we've talked about zone of proximal development and just stretching people so that they can fully develop and grow. All right, so I have two last questions, one about a book and then just a parting piece of advice. But so every guest, IB, I like to ask that I interview, what is a book that every leader should read and why?
Wow. Daniel's going to catch me off guard here because I have a very, very very successful habit of starting to read books and then not necessarily finishing them.
So what's a great book you started but never finished that every leader should read?
So I think like one book that I've really, that started and actually talked to Eric and Daniel about that I'm really excited about finishing is The Art of Work, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think like being able to look at your job as a calling, to me, it just means so much. Because, again, it kind of gets back to, like, thinking about your purpose in the world. And I know for me, I don't really get motivated by being the top expert in the world or having, like, a ton of money. I get motivated by being able to empower people to achieve their dreams and to make the world a better place, and to be an advocate for those that that don't historically don't have a voice. So I think, my challenge to you in a way is to kind of think about like what is my calling, and sometimes people might think of the word calling in a very like religious context, and I'm not really trying to go there. You know, that's one way of looking at it. But I think for everyone, you can really spend some time thinking about what do I feel most passionate about doing, and how does that make the world a better place? And I think if we just had, if 10% of the world did this, I would just be so amazed at like what could come out of it. I think it would be literally world changing.
Yeah, so you said The Art of Work, and I think that's by Stephen Pressfield, I want to say, or no, that, hold on 1 second. Is that one by Jeff Goings? Let's see. I've been reading so many books about art and about work, I get them all mistaken. Yeah, The Art of Work, that one's by Jeff Goings. But we will definitely link that up into the show notes. I read that book. I actually bought it for a few friends as well. And everybody had some great discussions about it. Really interesting book. And just, you know, what are you meant to do? And then take away all the obstacles to that and really just go for it. That's what that book's about. So we'll have that linked up in the show notes. Thank you for that suggestion. Hopefully one day you'll finish it, Ivy, and maybe we can interview you on how the book finishes. But last thing that I ask all the guests too, right? What are any parting piece of guidance or advice that you have for our listeners? And what is the best way to contact you? Typically, I know that you're active on Twitter and maybe you want to give out your email. That's up to you. But parting piece of advice and your Twitter handle, potentially email.
Let's see. Parting piece of advice. You're never too young and you're never too old. I think, again, one of the biggest things that I learned is that I am my own biggest obstacle to being part of something bigger, to achieving long-lasting change, and to try to be that catalyst. And we can come up with so many excuses. I really want to spend a lot of time with my family, or like I got to, a really important deadline, but maybe in a couple of months. But I think, you know, take back your schedules and design your schedules so that you're able to get back to reflecting on this idea of what is my calling? What is my calling in my schools? Talked about it in a previous episode, like how can I be a linchpin in my organization? How can I really drive the vision of our organization forward? How can I start something new that really adds to the world? But my parting advice is think of any excuse that you have, just set it down at the door and don't be afraid to dream. You can contact me on my email address. I'm one of those people that, better for worse, I check my email a lot. my wife does not like that. So my email is B as in boy, YCU21 at gmail.com. And I would love to interact with you guys. And it's just been such a pleasure to not only be a part of the podcast, but to be interviewed by Daniel and share some of the experiences that I've been a part of and things that I've learned along the way.
Hey, so you're on Twitter too. What's your handle there? Because you're on there all the time.
Okay, so my Twitter, it's funny, I'm on Twitter all the time, but I don't, okay.
Oh, you don't really tweet?
No, I do tweet a lot. I'm very enamored with my timeline, so all I think about is like what other people are talking about instead of what I talk about.
This is just if people want to connect with you.
Yeah.
You're giving a big story. We just want to know what your handle is.
Okay, so my handle is IBSTER45. So Ibster 45.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast today. This was episode number 8, where instead of being interviewed by Ibi Umana, I actually got to interview him and talk about the Career Expo. If you didn't get anything from that podcast, I hope you got, I guess, the charge to, if you're a school leader, help your students see themselves as a future version and highly successful version of themselves. And in communities that serve the underprivileged, and in communities that serve those that lack a voice to really make a change right now, you can empower them by showing them who they are to become in very successful ways by doing something like the Career Expo. Don't forget to check out the show notes at betterleadersbetterschools.com. Just search the term IB, that's IBY, and you'll be able to get the show notes for today's episode, which includes any links that we discussed, plus books that you should definitely check out. I create a free gift for all my listeners and the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. It's called the 15 Phrases of Effective School Leaders. These are just 15 phrases that have really, really served me well over the years. It's a 10-minute or less MP3 download. Again, it's free. Text the word phrases, P-H-R-A-S-E-S, that's phrases, to 33444, phrases to 33444, and you'll be able to get that free download immediately. Please rate and review this podcast in iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. That's the best thanks I can get. Helps us stay relevant in the podcast world and also helps us stay sharp. In terms of the trivia question, 2015 was a crazy year. President Barack Obama and the King and Queen of the Netherlands did visit my school, Brooks College Prep. It had nothing to do with me, of course, but it was, let me tell you, working with the Secret Service twice is super cool. And Joe Long, Secret Service Agent Joe Long, if you're listening, you're the man. If you want to contact me, it's daniel@betterleadersbetterschools.com. I read all my emails, cannot guarantee when I'll get a reply to you, but I will reply on Twitter @_betterschools. All right, thanks for tuning in. See you. Same better place, same better time.